Would you help me welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us? Come on, North Campus. All of you guys who are joining today, most of you know we're a multi-site church, so we're glad you're there today. We're streaming live to several campuses today, Tennessee, Illinois, and Ohio. We're glad you're all part of what God's doing. And let me just say to you, all of you here, as well as those watching today, I will be at our Savannah campus today at 6 o'clock tonight for a special service, and we'd love to have all of you come back to that at the Savannah campus, as well as Adamsville. It's close there. We invite you, and we'll invite you in South and Dyersburg, everywhere else. Come and be a part of that tonight, 6 o'clock. See what God is doing in other places, as well as just here in Jackson and at North Campus. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. I'm glad you're there today. When you came in today, whatever campus you were at, either on your seat or that was handed to you a card that says, "I'm in." Hang on to that till the end of the service, and we will take care of that at the end of the service today. Would you take your Bibles today? Let's make our confession together, or whatever it is that you've got the Word of God downloaded on. Let's say it together. It's coming up on the screen. Here we go. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says there's power of life and death in the tongue. So you just confess today that God's going to do some great stuff in your life. Would you take your Bibles today and go to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and would you just go there today, and we're going to get there in just a minute. But I began last week on this subject of I'm in. Now, how many of you have ever had somebody come up to you and say, "Man, I got some tickets to the Titans game," or "I've got, some tickets to UT Vols or Alabama," we're going to go play golf and, wherever, or we're going to go shopping, ladies, and you go, "Man, I'm in for that," right? Well, what I want you to be in for is not just for all of that. I want you to be in for the kingdom of God and what God is doing through the local church and the local house. And so last week we began out of the book of Psalms. So the scripture talks about they that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God, and they will be fresh and prosperous. And we talked last week about how God wants us to be planted in His house. Today we're going to be talking about being rooted, not only planted, but being rooted in the house of God. Now here's what I want to say before we read the scripture today. I want to say to each and every one of you how thankful that I am that you choose week in and week out to come and be a part of a Love and Truth congregation. We are so honored that you have said, "You know what? We believe that that's the place God wants us to go. We believe that that's a place that can make a difference in our lives." And so as campus pastors and as leaders, we take it as an awesome responsibility that you trust us with your life and your family and those that you bring. And we just want to say to you, first of all, today, before I even get into the Word, we just want to say thank you that you have chosen not only to come to Love and Truth Church, but we really believe that you're going to get planted in Love and Truth Church and that you're going to get rooted and grounded in everything that God has for you. Would you look in the 26th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and here's what it says. "When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket." Now, the next sentence is what I want you to really key in on. "Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling place for His name." Now, here's what I want you to understand today, and I want us to get a hold of this as we kind of drill down and kind of unpack this today. God has told us that He wants us to be in His kingdom. But not only does God want us to be in His kingdom, He wants us to be in a local church. And we talked about that last week. The Old Testament, the Scripture lets us know, is an example. It's a schoolmaster, the Scripture says, bringing us to Christ. In other words, we can go to the Old Testament, and we can look at the examples and the guidelines from the Old Testament, and we can find out things that God wants us to do in our lives. And so what's interesting to me is that as God talks to the children of Israel there, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the place that I'm going to send you to, and because when you go there, I'm going to do some things in your life. Now, here's where we've got to come to today, because I think a lot of us in the world today really don't understand how important it is to have a local church. I meet people all the time who tell me, and most of you know this, we have a television program at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. On WBBJ, it reaches all kind of counties. And so I go all over the place, and I meet people all the time, and I say, Pastor, you're pastor couples, aren't you? And I say, yeah. And I go, okay, what did I do wrong? And make sure I behave that day, right? And they say, well, we watch you every Sunday. And I'm so grateful to those of you who watch every Sunday. Thank you for watching. But you know what I know? Now, if you're disabled or some reason you can't go to church, that's understandable. But I want to say, even to those of you who watch the television program, it's needful for you to find a local church body to become affiliated with and to be a part of, because that is the way that God has established his kingdom. God says to us, look, I want you to be in. I want you to bring your life and to plant it in the local house. See, here's what we need to understand. The Scripture lets us know that God already knows where we need to be, right? The Scripture says this, that God knows what you have need of before you what? Ask him. He already knows what you have need of. So in other words, he knows your life. How many of you have ever thought, man, I wish I could know what the next year old, maybe you're saying, as we start focusing in just a few months on 2017, I just wonder what the future holds. I wish I could know what next year was going to hold. You ever thought that? Don't raise your hand. You ever thought that? I want to tell you, you don't want to know. Right? Come on. Look back at the last year, the last 2 years, last 5 years. I promise you, whatever your life is, you have had some tremendous highs, but you have also had some really, really low times. Amen? Amen? And you know what's so wonderful about this? And you say, well, Pastor, you're saying low times are wonderful? No, but what's wonderful about this is God knows what my future will be. See, in my life, in your life, we're living it day to day, moment by moment, second by second, but God already knows what I'm going to go through. God knows when I'm going to get that promotion, but God also knows when I'm going to go through that valley. And so God says, hey, here's what you got to get a hold of. I am going to send you to the place that you need to be. Here's what I found through the years, is that God knows what it will take to help us to grow and develop spiritually. Right? How many of you remember when you got saved? You remember the day you got saved? And if you're not saved today, we're going to believe before the day is over, you're going to be saved. But you made that commitment to Christ. You came into relationship with him. How many of you know, though, although you were saved, you still had a lot of things you needed to know? You needed to grow. And guess what? You need to continue to grow. And so God says, hey, I'm going to put you in this house. I'm going to bring you to this church. I'm going to bring you to this location, because in that house, you're going to be able to grow, and you're going to be able to develop into the person that you need to be. I've told people for years, and it kind of freaks some people out. I don't mean to. But, you know, I have, again, we're talking here at North Campus about 15 years in just a month or so that we're going to celebrate and all the great things that God has done. But I want to tell you, I have people come to me all the time and say, well, you're not the same pastor you used to be. You don't preach the way that you used to. And they're right, I don't. I'm different. And you know what? I've even said before that I've gone back and looked at sermon notes from years and years ago, or gone back and picked up a CD. And if I really want to go way back, get a cassette. Anybody know what a cassette? Get an 8-track? No, I'm kidding, right? Go back and listen to it. Now, hang on for just a minute, because I don't want to mess your world up. And I'll listen to it, or I'll look at the notes and go, I don't believe that. You say, Pastor, why would you preach something you don't believe? Hang on, listen to me. At the moment, I thought I was right. But as God further developed me and further showed me some things, I went, oh no, there's further truth there. There's a greater revelation that I didn't see. And that's how God operates in all my life. So God's going to put you in that place where you can grow and you can develop. Here's the next part of that. Anybody, let me ask you this question. Has anybody ever wanted to do something that wasn't righteous? If your neighbor does not have their hand up, would you just lay hand? No, I'm kidding. Right? And what happens to us is in those moments we kind of lose our way, don't we? So here's the deal. God will direct me when I lose my way. If I'm part of a local church body, if I go there where God has directed me to go, then even when I lose my way, and I've told people for years, look, when everything's going wonderful in life, you ought to go to church and we want you here. But when your whole world falls apart for whatever reason, that time above all times, you ought to be in the house of God. You say, Lord, Pastor, you don't know how bad I messed up. That's when I need to go to church. More than any other time in my life is in those moments. And so God, he works in my life and brings me back. In fact, the Bible says that the shepherd shows up. There's 99 that are safe, but there's one missing. And that shepherd goes out and finds that one and brings them back into the fold. And that's why, you know, in churches that grow and become larger, that's why connect groups are so important. That's why small group settings are so important, so that you have relationship with other people. That's why relevant classes are so good. Just any place, serving is so good. Any place that you can get connected with other people who can love on you. Amen. Because this, I want to tell you something. I don't want to bear the trials and tribulations of my life by myself. I want to share those. I want other people to know. The second thing is this, is God does the choosing. Right? In Deuteronomy 26 there, it says, where the Lord your God chooses. Now, we don't like that in America. You know, in America, we want to vote on everything. We want to tell everybody our opinion. And yet when you study the Word of God, you find out that God's plan is a kingdom. Amen? And here's what you find out about a kingdom. The king doesn't care about your vote. Why? Because he's the king. And the king's word is law. And so to us who come into the kingdom of God, in fact, the first sermon that Jesus preached when he started his ministry was repent, and that word means to change your mind. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. So everything about God's kingdom is against what we are, especially in America and in the West, with this natural understanding of we want to choose, we want to do, and yet the Word of God says is that he is the one who does the choosing. Now, let me show you what that means if he does the choosing. First of all, I've got to yield my will. Remember Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but your will be done. Now, I don't know about you. That's a little hard for me. Am I the only one? I mean, that one's tough for me. I want my way. You know, I did it my way. That's the anthem of Americans, right? And yet I've got to come to that place of saying, Lord, not your will, but my will be done. Not only must I yield my will, I must trust the Lord. Remember growing up in church, we used to sing a song that said, trust and obey, for there's no better way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And you know what? It really is true. When I come to that point and quit trying to make God line up with my life and just say, Lord, let my life line up with your will, and I'm going to trust you. I don't know why you're sending me to Love and True Church. I don't know why you're directing my life to that particular. But Lord, I trust you because I know that you know the end from the beginning. Before I ever got into the place that I needed help, you already knew. And lastly is, I must follow his lead. Right? I'm not a dancer. Well, I grew up in a church that said that a praying knee and a dancing foot couldn't be on the same body. Think about that. All right. But what I do understand a little bit, of, especially of certain types of dancing. Now, some stuff's called dancing. I'm not sure what that is. But that somebody has the lead and somebody else has the follow. Right? If you got both persons trying to lead, you got some serious problems. Well, what we've got to do is we've got to come to that place of saying, Lord, we're going to allow you to lead. All right? And here's what I want to say to you. And the scripture talks about that the church is the body of Christ. And it goes on talking about how that each part of the body supplies to the other. Okay? Now, I want you to hear me today. God is going to place you in the house that can supply to you what you need. But it's up to you whether or not you receive the supply God has. If you don't allow people to minister to you, why is it so quiet? If you don't allow people to love you, listen, I'm not. My wife is wonderful. You okay? Can I talk about you? Okay. My wife has a high threshold of pain tolerance. I'm a big baby, all right? And she's nodding, if for those of you who can't see her, okay? And she's German, and you know, they're just, bless God. All right? And she'll put up with stuff and won't say anything and whatever. I am not that way. If something is wrong with me, I want everybody to know it. How you doing today? Man, I am in bad shape. Let me tell you how bad I am. Right? I'm saying that tongue in cheek a little bit, but I want you to understand. Here's how the body operates. The body of Christ, the local church, we have to be vulnerable with one another, and we have to say, you know what, and you don't blab this to everybody. Look, you got to keep some stuff off Facebook, people. Let me help some of you guys. I love you, but good Lord, keep your business at home. All right? That was a really good place for a hallelujah. All right? But you need some people in your life. And again, as churches grow, it's easier just come in and get lost in the crowd. But you need some people in your life who are there with you when you're going through a tough time, when you're experiencing loss, when you're having that moment and you don't know where to turn, you don't know what to do, and have somebody else who comes alongside of you, who loves you and who cares for you. That's what the local church is supposed to be about. So again, I encourage you, get involved. Make sure that you are connecting at some level with a small group setting where you're connected with an iServe team. You're saying, you know what? I am going to build some relationships, first of all, so that I can serve others and be a blessing to others, but I'm also going to build some relationships because I know that there's going to be sometime, it may not be this year or next year, but there's going to come a moment in my life where I need somebody to sow back into my life so that I can receive healing. Does that make sense? Come on, I think that's good for us to just go ahead and say, that's where we are and that's what we need. Now, let me give you some principles on finding your place, okay? We believe God has a place for all of us. And I begin to look in the New Testament and I said, you know what? I think that the book of Acts is a great place to look for how that you and I make sure. Sometimes you think you hear the voice of God and it's just pizza you had. Anybody ever had that? I know God told me to marry that person. 6 months after you get them, say, that was a devil, bless God, hallelujah. That wasn't the Lord, you didn't have nothing to do. Oh, I'm kidding. That's nobody here, that's one of the campuses, all right? But the book of Acts, the second chapter, kind of gives us some parameters and five things I'm going to talk about real quickly. Would you look there in the 42nd a verse of chapter 2 of the book of Acts in the New Testament. And here's what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. See, that's that big meeting. They went to the temple, but then they had that connected meeting. They went home to home, right? And then it says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number, see that? Daily, those who were being saved. Now, there are five things that I think that every New Testament church has as part of its DNA, if I can use that terminology. And here's what we all know. If you want the best, you got to go back to the original, right? Have you ever seen a restaurant that you ate at and it was just the greatest thing ever, and then they franchise it? Anybody with me? They franchise it here, and all of a sudden, you go about the third or the fourth alliteration down, and it's horrible. You go, what in the world? Well, what happened is somewhere in there, somebody lost the recipe, and I'm not just talking about the food. Somebody lost how things were done, and they got away with it, well, from it. And so what we have to do, if we want to know what a New Testament church needs to look like, well, let's go all the way back to the founding of the New Testament, and let's see, or the New Testament church, and let's see what the scripture says to us. So, five things that I think every church needs to have according to scripture. First of all, is it needs transformational teaching. All right? Now, what I mean by that is that there is the Word of God going forth that is changing your life. We talk about it all the time at Love and Truth Church, and that is we are changing lives to change our world. I meet people all the time. And let me just do this, and I won't get anybody else in trouble. I grew up in a tradition where we have, and I thank God for my heritage, but hear what I'm going to say. I grew up in a tradition where we had what I call inspirational preaching. Does anybody understand that term? In other words, they'd preach and you'd get all excited, you'd get all pumped up, and you'd go out to the car and say, man, that was wonderful, that was great, that was the most powerful thing ever. And somebody would say, what did he preach on? That was great, that was, what did he say? That was, I don't know what he said, but it was, correct? Come on, a lot of us have been there. You get the organ going just right. Get the huzz. You know what the huzz are, don't you? I want to tell you. I don't do the huzz. And what I found is, again, not casting stones, please follow me. I found that inspirational preaching and teaching doesn't change many lives. Gets a lot of people excited, gets a lot of people pumped, but it's kind of like after you get done eating a meal and you say, I'm going to the gym tomorrow, because you're so full right then. But when tomorrow comes along, your mind hasn't been transformed. Amen? The Word of God says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Transformational teaching is what a church has. Secondly, that church has to be equipped and empowered. Now, what I mean by being equipped and empowered is I believe with all of my heart that every person who is a child of God has giftings. In fact, would you do me a favor? Would you, those of you watching, would you just look at your neighbor and say, you've got some gifts? Would you? Now, would you look at your other neighbor, because we don't want them to feel bad. Would you tell them that too? Just tell that person on the other side, you got some gifts. Some of you are telling the wall, I know I got you, okay? You got some gifts. But the problem is with a lot of us is that we don't ever use our gifts. Right? There's this whole thing in the body of Christ about the clergy and the laity. I love what I heard John Maxwell say years ago when he was pastoring in San Diego. He said, at our church, we don't have clergy and laity. We just have clayity. We're all made out of dirt. Amen? Right? Why? Because here's what I've found. And especially as a church gets larger, it becomes easier to get disengaged. Right? I mean, you know, when there's 50, I can remember, listen, I've pastored churches, every church I've either have took or started, you know, was about 30 people. And boy, when you got 30 or 40 people there, everybody's coming. Because they know that the preacher's going to know when you're not there. And he's going to be calling, dude. He's going to be, where were you? Because we need you, all right? But as a church grows and gets 200, gets 500, gets even larger than that, all of a sudden we kind of get disengaged. It's like, well, no, but it doesn't matter. The pastor won't know. And you know what? The pastor may not know. And you know, we try to, but the pastor may not know. But here's what I want to say to you. The gift that you have is going to be missed by somebody. See, if God's called you to a local body, it's because you've got something that that local body needs. And so it may not be that the pastor or the staff knows you're not there, but that person that you were supposed to minister to, that person you were supposed to love on, that person you were supposed to touch is not going to receive that because you are not using the empowerment and the gifting that God has placed in your life. Amen? And so we want to be a part of a house that equips and empowers people to fulfill the Word of God. The third thing is, the Scripture there says, and let me just read it to you. It says, and everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Here's the third thing that I think, I'm not going to a church that doesn't have this, and that is, it needs to have the power of the Spirit. Amen? Listen, I want to tell you something. I don't care how eloquent the speaker is. If God doesn't show up, you just got head knowledge. We talk about it all the time in staff meetings. We talk about it all the time with our campus pastors, that at every service, we want to have what we call a God moment. It's in that moment. It may be in a worship song. It may be in a prayer a staff member gives. It may be this, that, or the other. But here's what. We want God. And we know Sunday morning is a bridge service, and we're bringing people from all kinds of backgrounds, from all kinds of churches or no church environment, and we want to be understanding of that. But the one thing, in fact, this is even in writing. I have literally put this in writing, and it is part of the future of this house, that it cannot change, even if I die, that this will remain a Spirit-filled church. And if they try to change it, I'm coming back. Why? Because I believe that there is something about the power of God that nothing else touches. One moment in His presence will change your life forever. One moment of God's touch on your life can heal your marriage, can heal your body, can turn your life back into the right place with just one touch of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to challenge you, whatever you do, wherever you go, make sure that that house has a touch of the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing is, The Scripture there, before I give it to you, the Scripture there says, and they brought all that they had, they laid it at the apostles' feet, and they sold it, and they distributed it among the believers. And I've had that Scripture quoted to me before and said, see, Christians shouldn't own anything. Now, here's what I want to tell you. That's not true. In fact, this is the only church that's done at. Read the rest of the New Testament. It doesn't happen anywhere else. All right? It only happens at this church because it was the vision that God gave to this local house. And I'll explain why in just a moment. And so the fourth thing is, if I'm going to go to a local house, I have to buy into the vision. Now, I know this one's a little different because not a lot of people talk about this. Now, here's what I learned long ago. If somebody over here has this vision and somebody over here has another vision, that's division. Right? The vision of this church was so powerful, watch this, that when Ananias and Sapphira showed up and the Apostle Peter said, did you buy into the vision? Oh, Pastor, we are in. Y'all know the story? You lie, you fry. Go read it if you know what I'm talking about. The Bible says that They said, we sold the property for this amount? And Peter said, are you sure? Oh, yes. And Peter said, why'd you lie? When it was yours, you could have done with it what you wanted to. You didn't have to walk it. But because you said you bought into the vision and you didn't buy into the vision, God judges you. And Scripture said he died. His wife comes in a few minutes later. I don't know why somebody didn't tell her. Come on, am I the only one who thinks these thoughts? Why didn't one of the dear sisters of the church grab her as she walked in the door and say, baby, your husband just lied and he died. Don't lie in church. I know I read the Scripture differently than most people. Walks up and Peter says, did you sell it for such an amount? Yeah. The same men who just took your husband out are coming after you. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Here's what you need to understand. The next Sunday, everybody was in. I mean, they came through the door going, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. Come on, Pastor, I am in. I am sold out. There wasn't anybody lying. You didn't even think about lying that day. I've said for years, you don't have to have a whole bunch of people die. Just two or three get sick. All right, we'll move on. You didn't like that. All right? See, you have to buy into the vision, all right? Now, here's the vision. Let me explain why the vision was to sell everything they had. In just a few short years, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. They're going to lose all the property. They're going to lose all the land. And so the Lord, knowing the future, put the vision of that house, sell everything you got, bring it, and use it for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, because you're going to lose it anyway. But it wasn't for any other church. Go read the church at Rome, the church at Thessalonica. They didn't tell them that. It was a vision for them. So you need to be able to buy into the vision of the local house. Our vision is changing lives to change our world. We don't have a local vision. We have a worldwide vision. We don't believe Love and Truth Church is about one place. We believe Love and Truth Church is about hundreds and thousands of places. Amen. The last part is this. The Bible says, and he added to the church daily such as should be saved. The fifth thing is the church needs to be outreach focused. Outreach focused. There's too many churches that are what I call, and just bear with me for a minute, that what I call navel gazers. All they do is look here. Oh, poor, pitiful us. The church exists for us. And I know I frustrate some of you. I know at times some of you go, well, why don't Pastor talk about how wonderful we are and how great you are? Okay, hang on. You are wonderful. You are. You're great. I love you. But I'm going to spend all of eternity with you. I'm going to come to your house in heaven. And I'm going to expect you to cook for me. And we're going to hang out, well, I don't know, 5,000 or 6,000 years. And eat. You don't believe they eat in heaven? The Bible says it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be eating. And we're not going to gain any weight because there ain't no calories in heaven. Praise God. Amen. All right, but I want to tell you, there are men and women, boys and girls, that you and I know that don't know Jesus. They don't have a relationship with him. And we're not going to have that opportunity to spend with them if we don't reach them. And so the church has to have this focus of reaching out. Some of you who are here today, some of you who are listening to me today, that's what we're here for you. That's what we've prayed for this week. That's what we've asked God for this week, is that when you walk through the doors this week, that you would know how much God loves you and that you would sense his presence. And that you would come to that moment of saying, I need Jesus in my life. And Pastor, I'm in. I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm selling out today and committing my life to Jesus. It's the greatest thing that happens in any of our lives. Amen.